One of the questions you always get with this is, you know, would Germany have unified without Bismarck? And I think that's sort of flipping around the question you're asking another way. I think probably, eventually, Germany would have unified if there had never been a Bismarck. But I think it would have happened in a very different way and probably at a very different time. You sort of asked how important he is in creating the conditions for this. I think that's a different question as to how important he is in achieving unification. So in the sense of creating the conditions for unification, on one level, he isn't that important at all. There's a lot of other stuff that's going on in Europe and Germany at the time. So things that we may talk about later, like the formation of the Prussian Customs Union, eventually by 1866 amounts to the economic unification of Germany, is going on before Bismarck comes along and would have gone along that track anyway, I think, without him. You could argue that by the 1860s, there is this growing groundswell of popular nationalism, if you like, that had kind of been deflected after the failure of the 1848 revolutions, but is still there. And again, a lot of the people, a lot of the guys, because they are mainly men who are involved in that kind of milieu, are the same people who are involved in industrialization and the economic development of Germany. And I think eventually, you know, the combination of economic power would have led to sort of political power as well. In terms of sort of creating the immediate circumstances of unification, and this comes into what you're asking about war and diplomacy, I think Bismarck is very important, and this is where he becomes essential. Sort of the bottom-up nationalist project kind of stalled after 1848. And I think what Bismarck does is he realises that there needs to be a solution to the German question, as it's called in 19th century Europe, and he sees a way that this can be solved in Prussia's favour. And I think, again, there's a question mark about, you know, what Bismarck wants to achieve. Does he want to achieve united Germany, or is it actually an enlarged Prussia that he's after? And I don't think he necessarily sees a difference between the two, in a way. I think for him, the unification of Germany is the aggrandizement of Prussia. It is putting Prussia in the driver's seat of Germany and to a certain extent of Europe after 1870. So I think he sees this as a way of sort of gaining power, gaining influence for Prussia. And he sees it as the best way, you know, the next step for where can Prussia go next. And so I think he's quite instrumental in that. He has got the vision to sort of take what had been a bottom-up grassroots movement that the Prussian monarchy, the monarchies of all the German states had not had a lot of time for before this. And he sees this as really important, as a sort of, he can take it and use it as state policy, if you like. Bismarck himself is always a bit ambivalent about sort of to the extent to which politicians make policy, or the extent to which they sort of follow on in the wake of great events. And there's a quote, he says something like, you have to wait till you hear the rustle of God's garment and then grip hold as tightly as you can. And so to a certain extent, I think one of the things that Bismarck does is he sees the opportunity, and he sees that for the first time in 1864 when there is the confrontation over Schleswig-Holstein. The Schleswig-Holstein question, notoriously a difficult question in European politics. The British Prime Minister Palmerston says that only three people have ever understood it. One was the late Prince Consort, and he's dead. The other was a German professor, and he's gone mad. And the other one was myself, and I've forgotten all about it. And so this is a particularly difficult question, but it basically comes down to who controls the duchies of Schleswig and Holstein, the north of Germany, the south of Denmark. And they've been in what's called personal union with the Danish crown. The Danish king dies and does not have a male heir. There's all sorts of complicated political jiggery-pokery within Denmark, whereby a new constitution is introduced that extends sovereignty over these. Bismarck sees this as an opportunity to whip up nationalist feeling in Germany. There'd been a war back in the late 1840s between the German Confederation and Denmark over control of these duchies, which are seen by some as being German and some as being Danish. But Bismarck basically sees this as another opportunity to whip up a confrontation. There is a short war between Prussia, Austria, and the other German states, and Denmark, in which Denmark is pretty decisively defeated. And thereafter, the two duchies are administered jointly by Austria and Prussia, which is never going to be a sort of happy marriage, because there is this sort of confrontation between the two premier German states. They have been in competition for much of the 19th century, if not longer, over who has sort of the dominant position. Austria is the sort of the elder of the two, the more well established, and for a whole host of historical reasons has traditionally been seen as the leader of German affairs. But Prussia, since the 18th century, has increasingly challenged that Austrian dominance. And I think that challenge is becoming more apparent in the 1840s, 1850s, as Prussia is industrialising and improving economically, industrially, in a way that Austria isn't. And Prussia is increasingly becoming the economic leader of Germany, if not the political leader. So essentially, Bismarck again engineers things so that there is a falling out between Austria and Prussia over who has control of these two duchies, that brings about a war in 1866, sometimes called the Seven Weeks War, because that's how long it takes, or the Austro-Prussian War, that basically sees Prussia go to war with not only Austria, but with pretty much the rest of the German states. The result of this is the defeat of Austria, and Austria is knocked out of German affairs pretty decisively for good after that. Prussia is able to either annex outright or persuade the other North German states to enter into what's called the North German Confederation, which is essentially an enlarged Prussia. And a few of the southern German states, Bavaria, Württemberg, Baden, retain their independence thereafter. But really, this North German Confederation is the groundwork for the future German Empire. The constitution of the German Empire of 1871 is more or less the same as the constitution of the North German Confederation, which Bismarck writes. And so in that sense as well, he's very important for the development of the German Empire later on. He basically creates its constitutional framework.